Tommy Tucker, WWL, AMFM.com.
You ever been flipping around on TV and you notice something? Like, you know, I'm a very impatient guy in case you haven't noticed. But you've been flipping around the TV and you see something and it's like while you're watching the TV and the phone's going off and you're trying to stop it and you don't know where the phone is. You ever had that happen?
Yeah, too many things going on.
Yeah, you got the phone here somewhere what? And it's going off and you forgot to silence it and then all of a sudden you...
Kind of like running the radio show.
Pretty
right?
much, yeah. So you're, you know, you get bored and you put the program guide on to see what's coming up. I taped 3 hours of curling, not taped, but recorded 3 hours of curling last night because it just interested me. It was on for 3 hours. It was Canada playing Denmark, and I was wondering what in the world could take 3 hours?
Whoa, curling can.
Well, let me tell you what happened. The Canadian team was kicked out of the tournament for unacceptable behavior.
Whoa.
And you know what they were doing? They went out to curl and they were extremely drunk and breaking brooms and swearing.
No, that's not, no.
No, you can't do that.
No, that's bad.
Although you would wonder how you could do it without doing that, but I'll watch it when I get home tonight. Thank you, David. We're talking about prescription drug prices. I don't know if you've ever been through this with a family member, but where the price is just so high, it's crazy. And without insurance, they would either die or maybe they just can't afford it and they got to do without it. Have you ever been through any of that with a family member?
I'm telling you, just for myself, where you have to just kind of put it away. You know, it's like, I can't afford that.
But the money or the drugs?
The drugs.
Meaning you don't take them?
Well.
You can't afford them? I'm just trying to ask.
I might have to wait, you know.
I understand.
Until
okay.
I got enough money to cover it. But some of these drugs, the prices have just gone through, you're crazy.
Well, and that's a question in this product that is made by Kaleo, which is privately held. It's not publicly traded or anything, so they don't have a responsibility to the stockholders, which in and of itself, I think, is a question. If the company is publicly traded and you got your 401k involved in that, even though it costs a nickel to manufacture, as in the case of this Evzio, and there's demand for it, if you're charging $5.75 and you can't keep it on the shelves and you think you're leaving money on a table,
shoot.
If you have your 401k in that, do you mind if they charge $4,000? Because that's what supply and demand says. In this case, it's privately held, so I guess I would ask if you had your own company and you had something that cost you a nickel to manufacture and you could sell it for $4,000 and there was the demand for that, and you could supply it, would you have a moral quandary about doing that? And that's our question here, which is, if a drug company has a drug that works and they're the only people that have it, what do you think? And I'm getting texts on both sides of it. Some are saying they're robber barons that are going to hell because they're taking advantage of people. Other people are saying, well, you know what? This is America. This is based on capitalism. It's their product. If there's the demand for it, let them charge whatever the market will bear. So I would like to ask you at 260-1870, give me a call and let me know what side of that argument you fall down upon, or you fall upon, rather, and in this case of this naloxone drug to deal with opioid overdoses, is the company wrong for raising the price to $4,000 from $575 when it costs them about a nickel to manufacture each because there is the demand for it? I'd like to know what you think at 260-1870, local lively conversations. I don't know if there's a right or wrong here. I think it's just where your philosophy goes and what you think. And the other thing I'd like to ask you is, if you have a family member who relies on some high-priced prescription medication, is it a problem paying for it? And do you think that maybe the drug companies, in a way, are... I hate to say killing people, but maybe if there's a way to charge less for something that everybody can afford, are they morally bound to do that? Or, again, is it capitalism? Is America survival of the fittest? Some of the texts that are coming in as we load up the phone lines here, government control fuels prices, insurance prices. Why is this different than other payoffs? Another text says, I tell those heartless jerks that wait till they have an innocent child with type 1 or a terminal illness, see how they feel about monopolies exploiting the free market. That is not capitalism. Another text comes in here and says, don't believe farmers' pricing is just covering their costs. They make crazy profits. They don't care about you. They only care about the money. I think the other question here that I posed to Dr. Kaplan is a valid one. I don't think he quite understood what it's like here. after a hurricane. But is this any different than you're needing gasoline to really survive or to evacuate or what have you after a hurricane? And because they know you need it and the demand is so high, they charge you $100 a gallon. Is it really that different? We've been through that here. There are laws against price gouging. Should there be laws against price gouging when it comes to prescription drugs? And if so, how do you decide what's gouging? To David we go on line one. Hey, David, how you?
How you doing today, sir?
I am all right. And you?
I'm pretty good. I'm a person that's taken medication most of his life, and I've done a lot of research. My medication cost $2,374 a month out of pocket. At first, I was mad. After researching it myself, you start understanding that they have 5 years to make a medication and make profit off of that medication. Mm-hmm. After 5 years, anybody can duplicate it. Okay, so after they've spent years, maybe 10 years of studying payments to people, then they have 5 years to make the money off of that medication. After 5 years, somebody else makes it. And then following that, then comes the lawsuits of, well, what if it stopped your heart attack, but it hardened your kidneys? If you or someone you know has taken such and such medication, you are a part of a massive lawsuit. So that's what you run into. You might have one medication that makes a million, hundreds of millions, and then you have four medications previously that cost you hundreds of millions of dollars in lawsuits and such not.
David, that's interesting coming from you who pays how much a month?
$2,374 out of pocket.
How do you manage to do that? You must, I guess, make pretty decent money.
I was a commercial diver, and I made pretty substantial money. So I made decent enough to where I was able to afford those things. And I said, you know, hard work and everything. But again, you know, at first I was mad. When I walked up to that counter and asked them, and they were like, that's how much it is. I was like, you got to be kidding me. This is a kind of a big situation that I have. But at the end, that's when I was mad. But so I just started researching and how long does it take before they make a profit. And you see the commercials. If you or somebody you know makes it, they didn't make it to try and kill somebody, but they're still going to get sued for it.
Yep.
There's still years of research that goes into it, money spent to come up with it.
That's a show. David, I think that's a show for yet another day, which is if you watch afternoon TV, you know, they got lawyers advertising like it's a flipping game show or something, how much money you can get, and that's not the way it's designed to work at all. I hope you feel better, my friend. I hope it works out for you.
Yes, sir.
You have a nice Thanksgiving. I appreciate the call. 260-1870. His line just opened up if you'd like to grab it. Prescription drug prices. Should the company be able to charge whatever the market will bear, or should there be some type of regulation on it? Let me say this. This is me doing these voices to be clear, full disclaimer, because we can't afford actors to do this. So it'd be like, yes, I'm Dr. Smiggenbottoms, and you need this medicine. And the patient says, well, I can't really afford that. And the doctor says, well, you really, really need it. And then the drug company lady comes in and says, wait a minute, you're really sick and you really, really need this medication? And the patient says, yeah, I do. And then the drug person says, good, I'm going to charge you whatever I can. And in a way, it's like that. It's supply and demand, where the more you really need something, and we're talking about a drug here, maybe to greatly improve the quality of your life, to save your life, well, then I think you can make a case that there is no more of a demand, no stronger demand than that. So if you're going to say, I'm going to charge you whatever I want, raise the price to where a price point, if you will, where it's diminishing returns at one point and people stop buying it or stop using it, or you price it beyond the market. Well, I don't know. What is it? Is it capitalism? Is it survival of the fittest? Or is it the government should step in and keep the price of these down? And I would also ask you that when it comes to you and your personal story, if you're comfortable sharing it, and you can use a phony name, what kind of medicine do you take? What kind of prices do you pay? You heard the diver before saying he pays $2,300 a month. Do you wish the insurance companies would lower the price? He said no. He said, you know what, they have a limited amount of time to keep this as their own, and then they face liability if anything goes wrong with the drug, et cetera. Hey, Sharon, good morning. You're in WWL.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you. And you?
Good. I'm well today. I'm okay.
Good.
I'm calling because I just got in the car, I turned the radio on, heard what y'all talking about. I have Parkinson's disease, and I take many medicines during the day because I can't move. I can't move.
Right.
So I am taking something right now called Rotary. I've been taking it for a year and a half, and I do pay extra for that. There is something I could take instead, but it doesn't work as well. I also take another medicine. I could get a there's another medicine to take, and I could get a I could get a generic for it, but I pay extra regardless of whether I take a generic or not.
When you say there's another medication, do you mean an alternative medication or a generic form of it? Or is the two cases, one's an alternative form and the other's a generic?
The one where I have been taking for several years, the Retari, that is not a that is a different kind of medicine than the
gotcha.
Other one. I took another one before that. The Pramipexole is the same medicine. It's just one's generic and one's not.
And you have to come up with $2,000 a month out of your pocket?
About $1,500 right now.
So
yeah.
Do you feel as though you're being taken advantage of, or are you like our diver friend before who said, you know what, it's supply and demand, and I guess to extrapolate from his call, I'm glad that it's available, and I'll pay whatever it takes. And I guess the other part of it is he said he was a diver and did very well. I guess he's glad he's got the $2,300 a month to pay for it. So do you feel as though you're being taken advantage of, or are you just thankful that it's there?
I'm thankful that it's there, but I also think that I don't want to be, I wish the drug companies weren't deciding what I'm going to take for my medicine, because that's what they're doing. They're deciding, because people who can't pay for it, you just can't take it. And this one really was better for me. The Retari was much better than the one I was taking before.
And I'm not trying to be a downer here or anything, but candidly, Sharon, if you could not afford that medicine, what would happen?
I'd have to go back to the one that I was, that didn't work as well.
And your symptoms would be a lot more severe, I'm guessing?
It could be not as, let's say, this quality of life. My quality of life might not be as good.
Gotcha. No, thank you, Sharon. Right. Happy Thanksgiving.
Okay.
I'm glad you called.
You too.
Have a good day,
bye.
And I hope you feel better. To Don in Metairie. Hey, Don, you're on WWL. Good morning.
Hey, Tommy, how you doing?
So I'm well.
I'm all about supply and demand, mm-hmm. But I think that things that are necessary for life, in ambulance, hospitals, drugs, all that stuff, there should be some kind of controls on that. It's not like I'm selling radio advertising at WWL and would I get whatever I can get. I mean, you know, right?
Well, if you were, you'd be getting top dollar, my friend, I'll tell you that. Because I'm not finished yet. The demand is out of sight, so you could pretty well name your price. But go ahead with your point.
Okay, I understand. You know, supply and demand. You know, I want to go buy a new Corvette. Well, there's a big demand for it. Well, you get whatever you want. But, you know, I have diabetes. I need medicine. Well, you know, am I supposed to go broke, go bankrupt, just so that I can afford the medicine to help me keep my diabetes in check?
Well, and I suppose that's the question, and that's what the other two callers said. And I would ask you, do you feel as though you're being price gouged, or are you just thankful that it's there? And in essence, you're glad to pay the company whatever they ask because they developed this medication.
I think I'm being price gouged, okay. And I don't understand the whole hospital healthcare thing. The other thing that aggravates me about healthcare and drugs and all, you know, like Ochsner. Why do they have to advertise? East Jefferson, why do they have to advertise? Why do they have to sponsor races? Well, where's that money coming from? That money is our money. That money's coming from me. Why does a hospital need to advertise? Why does a drug company need to advertise? You know, they go to the doctor.
Well, let me
tell
you.
The doctors what the drug will do, and then the doctors assign it.
That is a relatively recent, I believe there was some type of restriction or law that changed maybe 10 years ago,
yeah.
Where you would never see these advertisements for I don't even want to name a drug here, but whatever it is, for God knows what kind of problems you have. At one point, I was wondering how much mail trouble could people be having to see these commercials every 3 minutes?
Yeah.
And I don't want to say it, but you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, you know, all these
so they got people
and
now,
everybody complains about losing money. Well, why are they advertising?
Well, now they're cutting a doctor out of it in a way because they're going directly to the consumer. And you're looking at it, and they give you a list of symptoms that just about everybody has, and you say, you know what? Maybe Donalox, and I'm using your name, is something that I need. So you go and ask the doctor for it, and before you know it, he's prescribing it to keep you happy. Maybe you need it, maybe you don't, and the drug sales go through the roof.
Yep. Hey, it's a crazy crazy industry. You have a great Thanksgiving.
No, wait, on a lighter note, do you cook any for Thanksgiving or not?
No.
Do you eat?
I bring the ice for the soft drink.
Good for you. I like it. Thank you, Don. Have a happy Thanksgiving. All right, 260-1870, Don North Shore. Hi, you're on WWL. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I think we're looking at this in the wrong way. I mean, your diver caller had it kind of in a sense, but he didn't really pinpoint it. And that's just—it's this simple. These pharmacy companies are in it to make money. They have investors. Now, the researchers may be doing it for the right reasons, but the people that put the money up want a return on their money. So if they're not allowed to make a return on their money, they're not going to give their money to that company. They're going to give it to another venture, and we're not going to have that drug at all. So rather than not being able to pay a high price for it, you won't be able to pay anything for it because it won't exist.
Well, I think you're taking a couple of things for granted there. One is that people are really selective about what they invest in, and that's mostly through 401ks. The other one is a lot of companies are privately held, not publicly traded. Thanks for the call. Back to our discussion about prescription drug prices, just so you know some of the goings-on in Washington. Orrin Hatch is retiring. He was the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee. Chuck Grassley, who figured prominently as the head of the Judiciary Committee during the Kavanaugh hearings, is going to take his place. And the drug industry is not nervous about that. He takes an antagonistic approach to drug companies. He's a free market-driven legislator, but he says it is embarrassing to bow to big pharma at the expense of consumers. He's a longtime supporter of importing drugs from Canada. The rest of the Republicans don't like that. And he says this has been an ongoing problem for more than 20 years, and it's way past time to make real progress and help millions of Americans who struggle to pay exorbitant prices for their medications. He wrote the Physician Payment Sunshine Act, which requires mandatory disclosure of gifts given to doctors and hospitals by pharmaceutical companies. And he has also introduced legislation that would stop an industry package called Pay for Delay. And if you know what that is, if you don't know what it is, it's when a brand name drug company pays generic manufacturers to delay bringing their cheaper generic versions of a drug to the market. It stalled after it was introduced, but again, going back to the Judiciary Committee and people that played a role in it, Senator Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota and Chuck Grassley wrote that. Just to give you a little background on that, back to the phone lines we go to talk to Richard in New Orleans. Hey, Richard, you're on WWL. Good morning.
Hey, Tommy. Good to talk to you. How
good to talk to you, sir. Huh?
Yeah, I just wanted to call. I work every day, and I just happen to be driving around, and I listen to these, I don't know, I guess that's what you call a troll. Somebody calls around and says that these drug prices are happy. He's happy to pay $2,000 a month.
Well, wait, Richard, hang on. Let me just say this in all fairness. I don't know who that was. I presume that he's telling the truth. I don't mean to impugn his credentials at all. I don't know if he's a troll or not. I just wanted to be clear on where I stand about that. Please go ahead,
okay,
sir.
Okay, well, my point is this. I mean, we are living in a culture where it's just gouged. Every corporation is gouging us, whether it's student loans, whether it's big pharma, whether it's the insurance companies, whether it's the hospitals. They're gouging, and there's nobody protecting us, the consumer. It's like unbelievable what's going on. I mean, you go across the border, every other country, there is no $2,000. It's free. I mean, and they have better health care. They live longer. They do better. Who cares? You wait a little longer for a drug or something. And even that, I don't even suspect that. A lot of these insurances you get now are just totally worthless. They have deductibles of tens of thousands of dollars and waits. It's we are being gouged. We're being taken for a ride by these big pharma, the insurance companies, it's pathetic what is going on in our country.
Thank you.
And people should be standing up in arms.
Thank you, Richard. I hope you have a nice Thanksgiving. A text comes in and says, but it's not pure capitalism. The drug company has a government-granted regulatory pattern which allows it to exclusively manufacture. So there's not a competition. If you let everybody produce it, then that would be competitive capitalism. And this text comes in and says, so what is our alternative? Do you let the government run it like Entergy or the Sewage and Water Board? Well, let me riddle you this. If it were not for the media, you would not know about Entergy or the Sewage and Water Board. So where does the phrase fake news fit into all of this? Back to the phone lines, we go to Joanne. Hey, Joanne, you're on WWL. Thank you for calling.
Yes, I know someone. It's their wife has a rare liver cancer, and they told me recently it's every 2 weeks she has to go and get this injection, which is a very tiny vial, and $21,000.
Holy moly!
Yes.
And that is for like some kind of chemotherapy, or what is that, Joanne?
I don't know if it's chemo. They just said that it's very rare, her cancer. It's a liver cancer.
Is she on Medicare?
I have no idea.
Well, I just wonder, is she going into her, does she have the means to pay $21,000? How much is that, a week, a month?
Well, I go to therapy, and this is one of the therapists. It's his wife.
Wow.
Yes.
So in that case, do you think the government should step in and say that's entirely too much? Should the government subsidize it, maybe even more than they are now? Or should she just be happy that it's available? And if, and I'm just putting this argument out there that some people have proffered already, that if it wasn't that much, then the company wouldn't have it on the market and she'd be out of luck. Where do you think all of this stands?
Well, I think the government should step in and, you know, control the prices of the drugs. And I think also she should get some help somewhere from the government.
All right. Thank you. I hope she feels better, Joanne. I appreciate your call. Bill, good morning. You're on WWL. What do you say to Billy?
Tom?
Hey, Bill.
Yeah. Former hospital administrator, retired. And
wait, say it again?
The first comment is that an answer to
Bill.
Why hospital.
Hey, Bill, yeah. I'm having a hard time understanding you. Go back, please. What'd you say?
I'm a former hospital administrator.
Oh, okay.
Retired.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and just to come back a couple of calls, the reason hospitals advertise is because it's a competitive business, and there's no other business out there where your first 3 out of 10 customers have no means of paying.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, the federal government says if you're going to operate in an emergency room, you have to accept everybody. And that means throughout treatment. So that's why they advertise it's a competitive business, and there's no other business like that.
Are you saying to attract paying business or insurance-covered business to cover the free business, pretty much?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Bill, let's answer me one question before we go. For people that say, you know, $100 aspirin, which might be an exaggeration, a $12 Band-Aid or whatever, what would you say to them? Because that is a common complaint that you hear all of the time.
Well, most companies are going to pay a DRG or a set payment. So you can charge whatever you want to charge. You're only going to pay a set amount.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, if you see an itemized bill and some things are really high, usually that doesn't fall back to the consumer.
Gotcha. Thank you, Bill. I'm glad you called, 260-1870. I've been having a hard time with this co-insurance thing because I only have one insurance company, and they say, well, that's your co-insurance. Well, I got to pay that, so I guess I'm the co-insurer. Newell Norman coming up. He's going to talk about immigration, among other things. We'll find out in a second. I don't know if you heard this or not. But the turkeys are going to be, they were kept in a hotel last night. They're going to show up at the White House today, Thanksgiving turkeys. They're named Carrot and Peas this year. And the president traditionally pardons the turkeys. But I understand President Trump's going to break with that tradition. And instead of pardoning them, he's going to deport them. Mike in Picayune, hi, you're on WWL. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, sir. And you?
Fine, thanks. Yeah, calling about your prescription drug price.
Yeah.
And actually, my daughter is has a spinal muscular atrophy, which is one of the muscular dystrophy diseases. And a drug was developed to stop the regression or attempt to stop the regression of muscle deterioration. And it's called Spinraza, S-P-I-N-R-A-C-A. Spinraza, for the first year, the cost is $750,000.
Wow.
And every subsequent year after that, it's $375,000. This is a drug that you, once you're approved for it, you get the, you go through the first year, And the first year consists of, I want to say it's 10 injections. It's actually injections into the spinal column. So they remove spinal fluid and replace it with Spinraza. And after the first year, then it, you do this for life, and it's $375,000 for life per year.
Let me jump in here for a second, Mike, and somebody's texting in here saying nobody pays $21,000 every 2 weeks or this month for an injection. That's an old wives' tale. It's an urban myth. It doesn't happen. You would say to these people, you need to open your eyes or you need to find out somebody that's actually going through it?
Yes, actually, because to put a little humor in here, I was calling you to see if you could loan me a couple hundred thousand. But,
no, but Newell's here. He might be able to do it.
Really? Yeah. Well, real quick,
I know a lot
what has happened is she's, because she's disabled, she's eligible for Medicare and Medicaid. Now, they'll never tell you what they pay.
Right.
But they, fortunately, we've been blessed because they picked up the entire cost. They picked up, Medicare picked up the 80%. And Medicaid picked up the 20%. Now, I know that they're not paying $750,000 a year or $375,000, but they are paying for this, and she's already completed her initial doses, which I believe are six or eight. I lose track. But this is one drug that truly has worked to where we saw her that she couldn't – she had no fine motor skills. And right now, after her going on her first year, she will probably, she can probably compete with some of the finest artists in New Orleans.
And how old is she, Mike?
She's 23.
What, I don't want to get lost in all of the, go ahead.
She was diagnosed at 18 months to not live to be two.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, at nine, she was diagnosed to not live to be 10. She's now 23. So, you know, the Lord's going to take it when it's her time. But, however, she researched this product to the point where the manufacturer, which I believe is Biogen, she's in the process of working with Biogen to possibly become a spokesperson for them.
Well, let me tell you this, Mike. What I don't want to get lost in all of this is that your daughter has been through a lot, and I think it's an amazing story that she could come as far as she did. God bless y'all. I hope y'all have a nice Thanksgiving.
Same to you. Thank you, sir, for taking my call.
You're quite welcome. Thank you for listening. Newell Norman coming up, hundreds of thousands of dollars. But you're not that liquid, are you?
Well, you know, Tommy, to be on a serious note as it relates to this issue, I oftentimes ask the federal government, as the largest consumer of pharmacy goods in the country, why are they not engaging in negotiations with these pharmacy providers on a daily basis?
But they do for themselves.
They do not.
Oh, they don't.
In fact, they're restricted. And that's
when it comes to Medicare or Medicaid and those things?
Absolutely. They are restricted, and that is the problem. They could actually negotiate these prices downward for the benefit of the entire country, themselves included. And if they treated themselves as though they're the consumer, which they are, you know, and just naloxone and Narcan, which is the, you know, the drug that's issued to folks that are overdosing. There's a story yesterday. They increased the price. I don't know how many hundred.
Yeah, well, yeah, we've been talking about it.
I mean, it's completely ridiculous because they found a loophole.
Right.
They found a loophole where they can charge it back to the federal government and they can make all of this money and everything else. We ought to be shutting these people down. And that's why we have the burdens that we have in this country. We're focusing on things on a global perspective. We've got so many little micro issues that we can deal with that we could eliminate tomorrow.
Quickly, insurance companies do negotiate prices, right?
Yes, they do.
But the government doesn't.
But the government does
not. Wow. What you got coming up today besides?
We're going to be talking about sewage and water board, and those issues keep revealing themselves.
Round and round and round, man. Yeah, I'm telling you.
There's no end there. And then the crisis at the border, another 9,000 in a caravan coming up through Baja California, and the Tijuana mayor says he's had enough.
9,002 turkeys.
There you go.
Have a great show. We'll be back tomorrow.